The Imitation of Christ, Lesson 1, which has been called Imitating Christ and Despising All Vanities on Earth. That may sound like old-fashioned language, but vanity is something that is empty, something that's ultimately meaningless. So many things that we get excited about don't really count for eternity. They won't be remembered in a century or millennium, sometimes not even in a generation. What is really worthwhile is the relationship with God. Now, if you're looking at the notes of the podcast, you'll see that the version I've put there is not what I'm reading. I'm giving you a slightly older version just so you can see what that's like, and then you can compare to what I'm reading. What is posted at the site is from the Christian Classics Ethereal Library, translated in 1940. But the version I'm using is from 2015, okay? So let's get right into it. These are the words of Christ. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness, John 8:12. They teach us how thoroughly we must imitate his life and character if we desire true understanding and freedom from our own deceptive hearts and minds. And so, may we earnestly study and meditate on the life of Jesus Christ. Christ's teachings surpass all of the great holy writers of the past. If we have his spirit, we find spiritual nourishment. Unfortunately, there are many people who frequently hear the words of Christ but have little desire to follow them, and so do not have the mind of Christ. What does it profit us to engage in deep discussions about the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit if we lack humility and are displeasing to God? Truly, deep and profound words do not make a person holy and upright, but a good life is what makes us dear to God. I would rather experience sorrow for my ungodly thoughts and actions than simply be skillful in defining repentance. If we know the whole Bible and the teachings of all the philosophers, what does all this benefit us without the love and grace of God? It is completely futile unless we love God and serve only him. This is the highest wisdom, to put earthly values behind us and to reach forward to the heavenly kingdom. It is futile to strive for earthly things and to trust in riches that will perish. It is futile to desire honors and lift up ourselves. It is futile to be ruled by the desires of our physical body, for this will only bring misery in the end. It is futile to desire a long life and to care little for a good life. It is futile to concentrate on the here and now and not look forward to the things which are eternal. It is futile to love temporary things and not strive toward eternal joy. Always keep this saying in mind: the eye is not satisfied with visible things, neither is the ear content with hearing. And so, let us strive to turn our hearts from the love of things that are visible and concentrate on the things that are invisible. If we are controlled by our own physical desires, we will corrupt our conscience and destroy the grace of God. Again, Book 1, Chapter 1, he is speaking very directly. I imagine if you're a very young Christian, you recognize some of the wording as coming from perhaps some New Testament passages you're familiar with. If you've been around and you've read the Bible multiple times, you probably caught most of those references. I mean, he quotes John 8:12, then he refers to the hidden manna, Revelation 2:17, the reward for those who persevere. He speaks of those who have the Spirit, the ones who really belong to Christ, Romans 8:9. There's a kind of an allusion to 1 Corinthians 13:3. You know, what good is it if you have all this knowledge? Then he refers to Ecclesiastes 1:2, later on to 1:8, also to Deuteronomy 6 and Galatians 5. And I put these passages in the notes in case you want to look them up, in case this is new for you. And what's the takeaway? Well, imitating Christ entails internalizing his teaching. So just because I go to church doesn't mean I'm living as Christ wills. Are there other things than Christ and his word that have captured our heart imagination or enthusiasm? I still meet a lot of Christians who get more excited about fashion or sports or money or, sadly, even the weather than they are about Christ and His Word. Of course, we're not looking for raw enthusiasm. That can be misguided. But to truly have the mind of Christ, as Ocampus puts it, means our hearts must be correctly aligned. Secondly, apart from a life of service to God, everything is ultimately meaningless. It's vain. It's futile. After all, what is eternal? What is eternal? And maybe it struck you. He had that series of statements. It is futile to strive for earthly things, futile to be ruled by desires, futile to desire long life, futile to concentrate on the here and now, futile to love temporary things. Futile. I mean, he repeats that just like Solomon does in Ecclesiastes. Meaningless, meaningless. The good life, whether that's the party scene of young people or the comfortable retirement, and I put retirement in quotes, of older years, this is vain in the light of eternity. Life, it's not about length. It's far more about quality. But even then, is the quality of life the quality of Christ, or is it just the values of this world? And that's challenging. And if you're listening to this and you're a little bit older, perhaps you're in your 50s or 60s, and you're thinking about scaling back or retiring and what's called the twilight years or the golden years, remember this, in Christ, we don't retire any more than we go on a vacation from God, never. To retire from Christ would be to retire from the faith. Oh, the third thing, we must be on guard, vigilant, lest our appetites erode our conscience and faith. He mentions that at the end of this meditation. Appetites, or not just sexual appetites, could be the hunger for the spotlight, for attention. It can be appetite for drinking alcohol. It could be overeating, gluttony, which in the medieval church was still considered to be a sin, unlike today. But when we give into our appetites, when we're not careful, this impacts our confidence, our credibility, and really our effectiveness. It's hard for people to take us seriously when we're talking about self-control and how the Spirit transforms our life, when we're always losing our temper, or when we weigh 20 pounds or 20 kilos more than we should. It kind of sends mixed signals. And when we're controlled by our appetites, it hurts our confidence. Sin always erodes away at who we really are deep down. And our ministry impact, certainly that's affected by sin. So what did I take away from this? Imitating Christ means internalizing that teaching. It's got to be deep in our heart. Apart from a life of service to God, everything else is ultimately meaningless. It doesn't mean we don't do it, but we need to be clear what's meaningful. Third, we have to be vigilant lest our appetites erode away our conscience and faith. And this means, fourthly and finally, that sheer productivity and the desire simply to be productive, that can be a fleshly desire too. That's not the goal, nor is it passion or conviction or a flurry of activity. The goal is the heart of Christ. That's our first meditation. And each following day, we'll be looking at different parts of the book. Thank you for listening. Have a tremendous day.